CTW Mobile.
Tyler, W4CTW, this is N0TR, Tom.
Tom, haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing out there today?
I was just getting ready to go in and change clothes and get into my human clothes to go outside. I've been to a doctor's appointment and a couple other places today, down to the daughters. And tired of this running around, sitting here vegetating, and did a lot of walking in that, and I'm sore from yesterday. I think I might just go out and mow grass. I'm tired of sitting around watching it grow in the cold weather. Over.
It's about go cut grass today rather than work. It's so nice outside, I'd do just about anything to spend some time out there. I think this is probably the nicest day I've seen in a while. I've been running around myself. I'm hopping from job to job. I'm going to look at some work here in Simpsonville here in just a little bit. And I'm currently over here at Woodruff Road and about to go on Bear Day. So I'm in about the worst traffic spot that you can be in the upstate.
Well, Tyler, tell me, I was looking at your website here. How's that, I guess it's a spider beam in it or something of that sort, look? I've thought about putting one of those up because I don't want a tower, but I thought that might be fun to do just for the heck of it.
That is not a spider beam, it's a Moxon. And basically what you got there is a two-element beam, and you've got the legs of each of the elements folded back toward each other, which makes it a little bit more compact. I think the wingspan on that thing is about 13 feet. And, you can use really lightweight supports. Those I have there are made out of fiberglass fishing poles. And you can use lightweight wire. It's a way to get a two-element beam-type antenna in a very more compact space than a full-size beam. And it's very lightweight. That base plate to it is aluminum. Those fiberglass fishing poles obviously don't weigh anything, and neither does the wire. And I think that whole thing is probably... I didn't weigh it exactly, but I think I added everything up. It's probably six and a half pounds total.
Nice. And so you built that yourself, I presume. Yeah, Ariel built his own beam like that, only more sophisticated, I guess you would say. But Ariel's light years above you and I when it comes to antennas. But they work pretty good from what I heard, but I hadn't, I've heard that name, Moxon, though. So what's it good for, 15 and 20?
It's resonant for 20, and with a good tuner, like the tuner in my G90 will tune a whole lot of different ranges. I could tune 17 and 10 pretty easily on that, and it got a little bit iffy in some of the other bands in between there. I've switched radios. I'm on a Yaesu FT450 now, and the internal tuner on that thing is not quite as generous. So I'm looking for an external tuner. I'm going to get a manual external tuner, I think. And once I get that, I'll get a little bit more range, and I can get back to using that on other stuff. But right now, with that radio, I think it's a 3-to-1 ratio it'll do. I can use it on 20, of course, and 10. But I'm not on 17 with it anymore.
Used to do a lot of work on 17. It's one of my favorite bands. I haven't lately because the sunspots haven't been there, but they'll be coming. And so that's great. And you still have to figure that even though you get something that might tune it, the losses would be in the tuner and not really going out propagating from the antenna. But it might be better than nothing. Because those in the radios are usually good for 10 to 1, I think. But I'm getting old, Tyler, so take that with a grain of salt. But that's pretty neat. Fishing poles, probably Walmart's best.
I think I got them on sale. I think I gave $8 per pole. And I had to kind of stand up. They were a little bit shorter than I needed them to be. I had to make kind of a standoff there with some half-inch EMT at the base in the middle. If I could have gotten the longer poles, I could have gone with just the fishing pole, but it was a matter of $8 a piece versus like $25 a piece for the ones that weren't on sale, so I decided to be thrifty like most hams are.
Well, fine business. I'm proud of you. That's a good deal, Tyler. And it's a learning thing, if nothing else, by golly. I lost my train of thought here. I was scrolling through your webpage there. Excuse me. But that's a very good job, it looks like to me. Oh, I got two wire antennas, and usually if I hear them, I can work them. And I have a TS590SG and an FT, excuse me, FT, that's Yaesu. It's a 998 tuner from MFJ, which is their best 1500 watt tuner. It does really well, and then I run it into a Meritron ALS 1200 amplifier. So generally speaking, if I can hear them, I can work them. I don't work a lot of sideband, but you know, last night I heard the 100th anniversary of the BBC on 7.176 on sideband. I thought, well, I'll just go see if I can hear him tonight. And he was just really a good signal in here, probably 5.657 from over in Great Britain. And so it was a long call sign, 100 BBC, I think it was the last part of it. So I just called once and got him. They were just making contacts, you know, and giving their names and whatnot, but it was kind of fun. Once in a while, if I see something interesting, I'll get up on sideband. Although my favorite is CW.
W4CTW. Yeah, I have not invested the time yet to hone my CW skills. I actually do spend most of my time on sideband. I haven't done a whole lot with any of the digital modes. I've done just one or two, three contacts on FT8. It's good when nothing else is going on, but it's not quite as fun to me as getting on sideband, talking to people. And I've had pretty good luck. I didn't upgrade radios until here just a couple weeks ago. Since I got my license on HF, I've just been using that G90, which is 20 watts max. And, you know, I got to say, even at that, with the decent antenna there, it's part of the reason why I built the antenna. I was always told you're better off to invest your time and money in your antenna versus your rig. And I made quite a few DX contacts, a lot of stuff in the Caribbean, and then plenty of them in Europe, Germany, you know, the UK. I even had one or two over in Russia just on that 20 watts. So, you know, for me, I'm up to a, you know, normal 100-watt rig now. I've noticed a difference, especially, you know, pile-ups. I'm not competing with people who are running, you know, 100 watts versus me 20. I tend to get called out a little more often, but I can't say anything bad about starting out with lower power. If you're patient, it teaches you a whole lot, I think.
That's good, and you got the right attitude. The antenna is the most important. I think Bill, N4WHM, he works these parks on the air things, and he's got a radio. I think it might be a G90. I'm not sure. His name's Bill. And a Greek guy, he's an IT guy from the University of Georgia. And I haven't heard much of him lately, but he's probably been busy. But, yeah, if the propagation's there, and if there isn't a big pileup, and all I ever had my first 19 years was 100 watts. Later on, I did have a nice beam up about 50 feet, and boy, if you got on CW, you could work anything. I mean, Heard Island, the whole nine yards on 100 watts. And that was one of the biggest pileups I think I've ever been in my life on CW. My call was in Zero Zulu Hotel Bravo. Try breaking into a pileup on CW with that at 100 watts when it's one of the most sought-after contacts in the world. It was a booger, but I think I worked him on three bands, so they're pretty tolerant of that and look for it, I think, on those de-expeditions, and they'll move from the extra up to the generals, and so you can do it. There's no question about it. I personally like the beam better, but it has its drawbacks too. Well, number one, I'm 74 years old. I can't climb anymore, and if I did, it'd be highly dangerous. And then the other thing is, my kids wind up having to get rid of it later on if something happened to me. And then, two, there's the fact that you got a rotator and you got a big lightning attractor up there in the air. And, you know, wires break the rotators. Rotators can go bad. There's a certain amount of maintenance. And then in Kansas, if you got an ice storm or something, it was a nasty situation. So there are good and bad things. Guys in 4IQs worked every country in the world, and all he's had is wire antennas. So you can do it. There's no question about it. W4CTW in 0TR.
You can definitely get there with a wire when the propagation's right, and I've really had good luck even off of my, I have an off-center fed dipole as well, go from 80 down to 10, doesn't do too bad, doesn't really require a ton of tuning in between, it's pretty good. I've done well on that. I've got an antenna switch set up between that and the beam, and a lot of times I'll kind of switch back and forth. I'll be listening on the dipole, and if I pick up a station that's real light, I can always, you know, swing the beam over toward it and pick that up. I kind of switch back and forth between the two. And I hear you on the tower and all the extra work and weight and stuff that comes from that. I kind of went low drag on mine. I don't actually have a power rotator. I've got the old Armstrong rotator. Do it by hand. It just is on a house bracket with a pass through, so the whole mast can rotate inside the house bracket. And I've only got it up about 20 feet. I could probably see it go a little higher, probably better, but that low, I can kind of set it up and drop it if I need to by hand by myself, especially with it being so light. And for me right now in my small, you know, suburban lot, probably where I'm going to keep it. I don't know that I'll be squeezing a 50-foot tower in there anytime soon. Not that I wouldn't want to, but I just don't know that it would be a good fit, appropriate for the location. Maybe one day, hoping to move out a little further to the country when I'm not commuting to work quite as much, maybe then I can set up a bigger station.
I might suggest that you look at times on these websites and that, and listen to Gary on Wednesday night with the sales thing, you know, the SwapNet. There are a lot of those old Radio Shack rotators that, oh, guys, in the old days they were like $69, but with Brandon up there now, I don't know what they cost, but with something with no wind load, virtually, you haven't got over maybe a pound or two of wind load, those Radio Shack TV antenna rotators would work just fine for you. And I think you'd enjoy that. I got one here on my over-the-air TV antenna, and it works just great. And no more than you'd use it, I don't think you'd have any problems out of it. And, oh, I believe the voltage to them is like 24 volts, so no danger there. And I think you'd enjoy that with that beam a lot.
I've given a look or two to those. I've seen some of those. Haven't seen any come up used lately, but I'm always listening to the SwapNet and and keeping my eyes open. And I may, on that recommendation, I may have to consider that if you think that that lightweight rotor would do okay with that antenna. It certainly would be nice to be able to sit there at my operating desk and rotate the beam as is right now. It's not the worst in the world. It's right outside a window, so all I got to do is walk over, and I've got a little setup so I can turn it there from the window. But certainly would be nice to be able to listen and turn the beam and everything at the same time.
Run some rotator wire, which is about the size of a telephone antenna cable. I mean, you know, the old telephone cable, but I'm sure the wireman's got a rotator cable that's very reasonable. But I'm certain it'll run it. I had three beams up at one time up in Kansas for 2 meters and 440, but the last one I had, and I give it to W4EEY and a couple other beams. I give him two boomers, I think. Cushcraft 13 element ones, and it would swing those just fine. And it was on top of my house at about 20 feet. And so I'm certain it'd run that, shall we say, Moxon spider beam. Yeah, there you'd have no problem with it.
Good business to me. I'll have to check it out. I tell you one thing, I am kind of glad I built that thing, and for no other reason than that's the thing that I have on QRZ there that people ask me about the most when I'm talking to them on the radio. I've been asked about it a good number of times, and it's always fun explaining it to people. It's a really, really cool, easy to build antenna that I think a lot of people forget about. W4CTW.
TR. Yeah, those spider beams work well. I don't know what kind of gain you got, but I'd hate to guess without looking at a book on it, but that's what I call them. They all look about the same, but there are different people who have different recommendations. Ariel would be the go-to person on that. He built his and used bamboo, I think. But you'd have to ask him. But a fine operator, Tyler. And you'd enjoy that a lot. I just call Gary or get in touch with him on Wednesday night and tell him to keep an eye out for you. I know there was a big estate sale, and the W4DJW is privy to that information. I wasn't needing anything, so I didn't pay any attention to it. But it was a large inventory of things, and you might be able to pick one up there. Like I said, I ran 2 meter beams with them without any problem at all, and I think you'd enjoy it. Well, Tyler, I need to go visit the girls. We adopted 15 the other day, and they require feed, you know, and water. So that's our chickens. My wife's pets, I might say. But they're not really pets. We keep them for the eggs. But it's been enjoyable talking to you. The pleasure's all mine. And anytime you want to stop by and look at my setup, you're surely welcome to come on over here. You're not very far away. Tyler, just let me know or come over some evening, and I'll show you how we operate there. W4CTW in 0TR73, Tyler.
Mr. Tom, I appreciate you riding with me to Simpsonville today. Matter of fact, I'm just about there myself, and hopefully I'll be running into you again here soon and have another conversation. So this is W4CTW. I'll be clear.
Mr. Tyler, N0TR is clear on QRT.